Leadership isn't about titles. It's about vision, resilience, and growth. I'm Erica Butler, and on the Go Hire show, we talk about the tools and strategies that help you lead with impact, grow your business, and build teams that thrive. From real estate to cultural agility, from managing diverse teams to creating work-life harmony, Go Hire helps you rise above challenges and step into your next level. Catch Go Hire every week on Now Media Television. We're streaming on Roku, Apple TV, SiriusXM, iHeartRadio, and all other major platforms. Let's go hire together. Welcome to Go Hire. I'm your host, Erica Butler, and today we'll be diving into leadership topics, international teams, how do you manage a culturally diverse team, navigating life balance for yourself, your team, your family. And I'm very happy today to introduce you to someone I value and look up to. Her name is Gloria, and she is the head of access, value and access at a Fortune 500 company, as well as a new mother. So with the topics near and dear to my heart, she's the perfect guest to speak with today. So welcome, Gloria. Will you share a little bit about yourself with the audience, please?
Thank you for inviting me, Erica. I feel very privileged to be here and to be able to share a little bit about my journey, as you say. Till now, for 10 years only as a worker and a leader in a company, but now also as a mother, and the challenges that I've been experiencing and feeling for the last months already.
Thank you, Gloria. And though you're from Spain, you've been working in Baltic countries. So you're working internationally. So there's many layers to the leadership you're doing. It's just not leading a team from Spain. You're leading a very culturally diverse team. So I'm really excited to hear from your perspective about how to navigate that. So with that, as I mentioned, you do lead a team across four countries, and I want to hear, what have you learned about leading across different cultures, languages, and values, and how do you keep your team united around a shared purpose?
Yes, as you said, I was leading recently four countries, the Baltics and Ukraine, countries that are very different culturally than where I come from, and it's really taught me this experience, the importance of observing and humility in the beginning. That was a big thing, that sometimes it takes time to understand new environments and ways of working, unspoken dynamics. It takes a little bit of time. And also, I also think that there's a balance between adapting to these local norms, local ways of doing, but also bringing your own leadership perspective and the leadership experience. And I think it's real, this equilibrium between these two worlds. And there's some point where these two worlds meet and magic happens there. And I think there's a space to find this common ground, let's say, in common direction in leadership. Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe I love that you started with humility, Gloria, because humility to me means you're listening, you're learning, you're asking your team the questions. You want to understand their culture better and where you are different, where you meet in the middle. And I think that's so beautiful that you literally started with that. I agree. It's so important. So as the head of values and access, your role is about creating impact for both the company and the people it serves. So I'd love to hear more about that role, and how do you define success in this role for you and your team?
Yeah, exactly. Value and access, for those that may not know what this about, it's about bringing innovative medicines to patients. And we try to do this as soon as possible. So this function needs to prepare the negotiations, the pricing, the environment, let's say. So serving this purpose, success for me in value and access is make sure that we do get these new innovations to patients, the sooner the better. And that means quite... It's let's say more complex when you have more than one country, because there's, as you were mentioning in the beginning, a lot of diversity. Also, the markets are evolving very fast, the Baltic countries. So, success after all, and I will link this to also some learnings that maternity has bring is to. What's the point of this? So this was success, and also to be able to bring a nice team and have fun in the meanwhile and grow. So that would be success for me.
Absolutely. And I do think it's important to have fun with your team and have fun at work. We spent so many hours at work. So I think that is an important piece to be a good leader. So many parents I've talked to that are also leaders, they say that being a parent, they feel like improve their leadership. So I'd love to hear your perspective. How has becoming a mother changed your perspective on leadership, decision-making, and managing your team?
Yeah, so I think being a mother has absolutely changed my leadership style forever. I think this is a reality. And I've found myself during the last months being more efficient and focused on what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
You agree on that?
I totally.
We have very limited time, so yes. We need to be very focused on that. But also, and I think most importantly, motherhood has awakened in me something that I didn't have before, that it's a huge sense of responsibility and legacy. Now everything I do, it's like I know it will shape my son, the future generation, and I feel like much more responsibility in the work that I do, in the purpose, in being more intentional in the how I interact with other people. I used to be also very, let's say, impulsive sometimes because I'm very passionate about my work. So I think motherhood also showed me that I have to be a little bit less reactive and that it's a journey. So there are some things, as I was saying in the beginning, that take time. And the journey is as important as the destination, let's say. So this has been my biggest changes I've experienced. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear from you this new ability to provide this additional flexibility to your team and meet them at their different life stages because of your understanding of what is needed for parents and those taking care of their parents and so many mm-hmm. other situations that come up. So with that, I'd love to hear, you know, as a leader, a senior leader on the leadership team, how do you create a culture, not just for your team, but also across the business unit? As on the leadership team, how do you create a culture that supports the diversity and inclusion and flexibility for people at all different life stages?
I think flexibility is, as you say, very important, but both sides. So both the employee, but also the company. And that brings me to one exercise that I think is very important, that is agree on what are the core values to work with your team. And I did this in the beginning, and I think I would definitely do it every time that a team member has a change in their family or personal life, because as you're saying, life changes. And I agree that flexibility is absolutely crucial, especially when you have kids. But also there are some non-negotiables in terms of delivering on making sure that there are some basics in respect on how we treat each other that also need to be there.
And the results still need to happen. So how do you exactly. do this and be flexible but still get results, which is possible, yeah. but take some extra planning and not as impulsive sometime probably.
Yeah, and also, Erica, and sorry because I didn't complete the whole question that about how to create this inclusive culture.
Yes, please.
And this, I think I can share with you that it takes time. And I think you know that. But if you really want to have a team that is inclusive, that has diverse, like real diversity, that means spending time in one-to-ones, spending time listening to what's going on, mentoring at a personal level, sometimes also making very difficult decisions. Someone is not going or not doing the behaviors that we agreed, also making difficult decisions on these are our principles, these core values about like respect every individual, like regardless of many things. Then I think it's good to remind that it's not something that we do in the beginning and that's it, but it's really a practice. I would say, I don't know if a daily, but monthly practice that we need to keep working on it and dedicate time, allocate time to it.
Living it out. And everything can relate back to that even, you know, getting feedback from the team regularly and, you know, starting meetings on time if that's of value to several people in the group. All these things, it matters day to day. So I love that, you know, your focus on being consistent and having it top of mind. That's great. Yeah,
that's what I wanted to express, that it's not something that just happens, but it requires as much work as business case for like any product is required. So both things, the business and the people part, require time and efforts and tough decisions sometimes to achieve it. But I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. I agree. Mm-hmm. But don't be discouraged out there if you're trying in 2 weeks, it's not there, because it does take time. So keep going.
Exactly. Keep going and give people some time also. But I would say also making sure that there are some red lines that we as leaders need to ensure that are not surpassed, I would say.
Yes. Well, we're already at our last question. Could talk to you so much more about all of this, Gloria. But many young professionals, they worry about career growth while starting a family. It's a really common thing. What strategies or mindsets or actions are you taking that's helping you in your career during this transition? Is there anything you can share?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Ask for help.
Yes.
Something I was so good at, and now I had to. Saying no was another action that I've practiced a lot especially since I become a mom. I used to try to do everything, be in everything, and it's not possible, basically. And be very mindful of what really matters to me. What are my priorities in life, in that work? So I think this is also important to find some time, maybe weekly or every 2 weeks, to talk to yourself and reflect on that, because then I feel like the decisions are quicker in our daily craziness that sometimes we need to manage between motherhood and work and extra things that we all do. And in terms of mindset, Erica, I would say that to navigate this transition, which have not been easy, I have to say, my mindset tips was to talk nice to myself.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Because no one will do it for, at least no one did it for me. So I try to do it for myself and telling to myself, you don't have to pause your career unless you want to. If you want to, it's absolutely fine, but you don't have to do it. Or the other way around, you don't have to accelerate your career. It's fine if you don't, for some months, for some years, your value will not go anywhere. And these mantras for myself were very useful during the first weeks, especially. And the second mindset that I think was very helpful for me was, and this is where I'm now, let's say, now also like reflecting on career growth, I think it's very important to integrate the both worlds. And I remember that I was discussing about this topic with you some months ago before I was a mother, but there's a lot of synergies, and this is true. There's many things that I've learned and that are skills required in both for a mother or a father, like resilience, multitasking, empathy, fast decision-making, under pressure, under crying, that can make you a stronger leader. And you don't need to fight the two worlds, but build a new world that combines the two.
That is so beautiful, Gloria. I can't thank you enough for your vulnerability and realness that you shared today, and you always do. And I think you gave some really like nice feedback points for new parents to be thinking about. You know, you're great where you're at. It's a big transition. Be kind to yourself. Protect what matters most. There's so many more I could share and repeat from what you said. But yeah, I think your vulnerability, humility, it's beautiful. And I just see so much hope in your future. And you have so much going for you in in all areas and how that's going to blend together for your family. I can't wait to watch and continue to cheer you on, Gloria. You're a fantastic leader. And yeah, thank you so much for being here today. So
thank you for the opportunity. It's always great to talk to you and very inspiring. So lots of gratitude for helping me grow in many senses. And yeah, I hope we'll see each other soon.
Yes, I hope so as well, Gloria. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your day. And to our audience, thanks for watching. That we'll have another segment coming up shortly. So we'll be right back after the commercial break. And keep going higher.
We'll be right back with more stories, lessons, and practical tools to help you rise in leadership, business, and life. This is Go Higher on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Erica Butler, and you're watching Go Higher on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation that helps you lead, live, and love with purpose.
Welcome to Go Higher, where we explore the tools, strategies, and stories that help leaders elevate their impact in both business and in life. I'm your host, Erica Butler, and today we're diving into one of the most critical yet challenging areas for growing your business, how to build HR systems that actually scale without breaking the bank. So joining me today, I'm very excited to have Nicole Anderson. She is the dynamic founder and CEO of Mend HR Solutions, a premier HR and recruiting firm. She's led since 2017, so she has a lot of experience under her belt. She's also the founder and CEO of Love Inspiring Life. It's a nonprofit fighting sexual exploitation and trafficking through legislation, survivor support, and public education. She's also the author of HR is Sexy, which I absolutely love that title, and I agree, and has been recognized as a top organizational change maker, a top 50 leader, and woman of distinction, with her expertise featured on ABC, NBC, CBS, the CW, and Forbes. Oh my goodness, welcome, Nicole. I'm just so thrilled to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just as excited as you are to have this conversation.
Well, I know I'll be learning a lot from you, and the audience will as well. So let's dive into the challenges we want to focus on today and providing solutions that work. So the challenge many leaders face is that as their company grows, HR demands also grow even faster. Hiring, compliance, you don't know what you don't know, performance management can suddenly overwhelm a very lean team. Leaders often feel like they need a full HR department because we cover so much in HR, but they can't afford that salary, the bureaucracy, or the overhead of that. So I really want to dive in with you today on your experience and recommendation. How can we help companies do this for a fraction of the cost, but still hit the main needs that have to happen? So what parts of HR are most important, would you say, to build first when you're a small or mid-sized business? Where would you have leaders focus first?
Well, I know that this is probably really cliche about mission, vision, and values, but as an organization, you need to have that upfront. You need to know like the direction your company is going before you hire your first person. Once you have that solid, it's time to move into what policies you want and what benefits you want in your organization to help enhance that mission, vision, and values. And I know like a lot of coaches will say that, but I've worked with over 350 companies, Fortune 100, Fortune 500, and small to mid-sized businesses, and companies that lack the mission, vision, and values have a harder time reining in a culture that they didn't want, because employees are going to create the culture that they want within the organization. And sometimes that's a positive thing, but sometimes it's also a negative thing.
You're so right. And everything a company does is going to tie back to that foundation. So if we're not clear on it, we're not hiring the right people. We're not end. So yeah, I actually love that that's where you went with that question. I completely agree. So tangibly, how can you use tools, software, or external consultants to get HR capacity without full in-house cost? What examples can you provide that work?
So thankfully for AI, and not thankfully for AI,
well said.
It does take a little bit of our work away from us, because it is so easy now to just go somewhere and pull out a policy that's pretty effective, But you still need to have a human review it, make sure that it's still legal and that it's compliant, because AI hasn't gotten there yet. It will be in the future, no doubt, but it's still not there yet. So I believe that organizations, you know, use the tools at hand, whether it's your payroll company that you have established that has a little HR feature. I always tell everybody that I speak to that want to know when or what to do with HR is get a SHRM membership, which is the Society for Human Resources Management. It's $279 a year, I believe. And you can go on there and there's policies, procedures, help, things like that, especially for a business with 1 to 10 employees. If you go there, you can get so much stuff that is written by HR professionals, written by lawyers that you can use. It's a very good resource for somebody who doesn't have the money. Then I think once an employer starts getting to 10, above 10, it's time to bring in maybe a consultant that can help build stronger policies, get your foundation in place. And it's going to cost a little bit up front. But HR at the beginning of your organization is just as important as your attorney and your lawyer. Your attorney and your accountant.
Yeah. Well, I fully agree. And I love that you brought up SHRM. One of my favorite features for these small businesses under 10, like you said, they can do 10 calls a year. That's covered with their membership. They can speak with an HR professional and for really hard situations. And I think that is really generous. And then SHRM is so high quality and it's so accurate and it's so updated. It's just so, I agree with you. I think it's such a great place to start. So I love that you brought that up. So moving on, what is managed HR and how do you decide when it's time to bring that in?
I think, so one of the things with managed HR, which is something that we like to coin the stuff that we do for our smaller businesses, is it's more of a subscription type service, right? Like you get a certain amount of hours per month for a set amount of fee, for just a small fee. And, you know, things happen, crisis happens. So our managed HR, we understand that you may go over 1 month of your hour allotment. But when you start having employee issues or you start having employees asking questions that you don't know how to answer, I never want a business owner to say the wrong thing out of ignorance and then get in trouble for saying something that they didn't know that they were supposed to say. So I think from that aspect, when employees start asking more difficult questions, it's time for you to bring in somebody that can help. And like I said, for us, we do a managed HR program where our employer or some of our employers, they pay a certain amount per month and they get a certain amount of hours and they use them. And it's so inexpensive. It's like something else, like a subscription that they would have for something else.
It sounds really efficient though, because then they know that they can, you know them, you know their business, and they can call the same people, which is so nice. So I think that's amazing. Yeah. So how do you maintain culture, engagement, and compliance when HR is partially outsourced or external?
So going back to the first question, where we establish the mission, vision, and values, we work and train in that with our employers. So we train their leaders on what that is, what the culture the owner is trying to set. So we work with the leaders and then we work with the employees to train them on the same aspect. So like during onboarding and orientation, engagement, we have found that a lot of employers really like the fact that HR is a step away from the organization. They feel as though it actually adds to their culture because of the stigma, right, of HR, like when you go to HR, when you have these things. So they actually like the step away where employees know that they have HR, they can come to us anytime, they have a hotline, they have direct access to the team, but it's not in the back of everybody's head that, oh, HR is watching everything that I do. So it's actually been more effective with engagement and more effective. When we come in, we do visit some of our clients every once in a while. And when we come in, people love to see us. It's not a, oh my God, they're here because they're watching me, or I'm going to get in trouble, or they love coming and having those conversations. And I think it also is, you know, my personality and my team's personality, because I've built a culture of HR where we're going to help and assist. Like, our goal is not to be the police officer of an organization. We're there to elevate the organization, and we can only do that through kindness, through working through people's issues with them and the employer at the same time.
Well, it sounds you take a very proactive approach, and you listen and you get valuable information that the business might not otherwise have. And you act as that third party confidential resource for people to really share what's going on and not worried they're going to make their boss mad or something like that. I think it is really special the way you go about it. And I love that you have a kindness, because why not? HR doesn't have to be mean. We get a bad rap sometimes, right? But I love your approach and I really agree with it. So awesome. So let's help our audience with avoiding mistakes. So what mistakes should leaders avoid when scaling up HR so that they don't create unnecessary bureaucracy or slowdowns to the workflows?
Well, I think the first mistake that a lot of business owners do is they hire too many HR people. And that is detrimental to an organization from a cost perspective, given that technically HR is a non-revenue generating department. However, HR can help drive revenue. You can't do that when you have four people for 50 employees that have differencing of opinions and not growing with the organization. Sometimes they listen. There are some HR people that are like, well, I need a benefits person. I need a payroll person. I need this and I need that. And they hire a specialized individual instead of a generalist, which is where most HR people will fall, is in that general category where we know all of it. We can run payroll. And while a lot of people don't like the idea of, oh, I got to do all the work, it's not that. It's being efficient and effective for your organization. There will come a time when you need to hire an additional person as the company scales. But in the meantime, the biggest mistake is they hire a lot of people in HR. I went into a client one time. They had 7 HR people for 150 people. For 150 headcount.
Never heard of that in my whole life. Wow, that's big.
And I was like, I was like, why exactly? You know, I was asking, I was like, I don't understand why you need this many people. I was like, you don't have this many people in accounting, and that's important. And they said, well, they just kept saying we needed these people. And I'm like, no. I said, that's where we're gonna, I mean, unfortunately, we have to cut because it's not efficient or effective. And so I think that owners and business owners, CEOs, entrepreneurs need to understand that staffing in HR sometimes is a bit different than staffing in other areas of their organization, and they should consult somebody on staffing their HR department prior to doing so.
I agree. And even size, it depends. If you're supporting a sales team that's remote, it might be less than in-person warehouse. You know, it just matters, a lot of other factors. So I agree with you. Well, this has been so valuable, Nicole. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversation with you?
So you can follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn. We're always Nicole Anderson 5 or Mend HR on LinkedIn. You could always email us, info@mendhr.com. We're always, somebody's always looking at our email, so we can assist. We're great with answering just off the wall questions. You might not, if you're in the middle of a crisis, we're really great at crisis management for HR. So any of those ways you can get a hold of us.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you, Nicole, for sharing your wisdom today. You've shown us that HR doesn't have to be overwhelming or out of reach. Even for growing businesses with limited budgets, it's possible. The key is knowing what to prioritize, leveraging the right tools, and being intentional about keeping culture and compliance at the forefront. So for all of you watching, think about one area of your HR strategy where you can simplify, systemize, or seek support without adding unnecessary complexity. Small steps can make a big difference in creating a workplace that grows sustainably. I'm Erica Butler, and this has been Go Higher. Remember, every challenge is an opportunity to rise. Until next time, keep pushing forward and go higher. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more stories, lessons, and practical tools to help you rise in leadership, business, and life. This is Go Higher on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Erica Butler, and you're watching Go Higher on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation that helps you lead, live, and love with purpose.
Welcome to Go Higher. I'm your host, Erica Butler, and today I have a very special guest, Dan Yeros. He is the owner of Dan Yeros Agency, benefits insurance expert, coach. He is a GM of a consulting organization, and it just proves for talented leaders how much is really possible. So it's an honor to have you today, Dan. Thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me, Erica. I'm thrilled to be here.
So there's a lot we could talk about, from your years of Fortune 100 leadership to what I learned from you as a leader to our consulting. But what I want to focus on today is actually benefits healthcare. It's something that small and mid-sized businesses have been struggling with because it's changed so much. And how do they offer plans that really work for their employee base? And how do they stay competitive? So that's what we're going to focus on today.
Sounds great.
Okay, awesome. So my first question for you, as healthcare costs continue to rise, how can agencies help families and small businesses protect themselves with the right supplemental health benefits?
You know, Erica, this is something that I deal with every day. So many small businesses are struggling to find the right mix of benefits, if any benefits at all. You know, most companies require a minimum amount of employees to even provide healthcare coverage. So, you know, I always recommend starting out getting to know your team and making sure you understand what's important to them. Find out what they need. Is there medical concerns out there? You know, where are they in their life? Do they have families? Are they getting to retire and they need more doctors? Or are they younger and they could get by with, you know, a catastrophic plan? So when I look at what's going on out in the world, it's really getting to know your team. And then when I look at the supplemental benefits, there's great stuff out there. So if you've got a younger team or a group that you're providing benefits for, but it's a high deductible plan, you could always offer a health savings account and maybe contribute some money to that for them, or a flexible spending account. And then also, as a small business employer, you know, short-term and long-term disability are very reasonable and something I think everyone should provide. You know, it just provides comfort and ease for the employees and the employer. Because as a small business owner, I know you care about your teams, you become really close. And if something was to happen and that employee has to be out for 6 months, you know, it's not on you to pay for their benefits and their salary for those 6 months. That short-term and long-term disability will kick in, provide ease and comfort for the employee and the employer. And there's a lot of great things out there. I think, you know, if people have questions, they just need to contact their benefit broker and they could help them work through their problems.
I love that you pointed out it's a benefit for employees, but also the employer, because they, of course, want their employees to be okay. And if there was something that happened, they can rest easy knowing, okay, there will be coverage and they have a support plan. And you helped me specifically with this a couple years back, and I was blown away by how affordable it is as a small business owner. And I love offering that for team members. It's something that is really meaningful to them, which they've told me it was, and meaningful to me. So I agree. If there's small, mid-sized business owners out there that aren't offering that, that's a meaningful step in the right direction. So I love that you provided that. So let's talk about some of the technology, AI apps out there. So with new technology like telehealth apps and AI-driven wellness tools becoming mainstream, how are agencies positioning their benefits to keep pace with these changes?
You know, that's another great question, because things are changing every day in the healthcare world. And with AI, there's so much more that you could do. And, you know, when you mentioned telehealth, that's really the next step, right? And that's the future. And it's paired with a medical plan. It's a great option where medical plans are providing the telehealth for free as part of their services. And this allows the, you know, employee, if they're not sure whether to go to the emergency room or they're not sure whether they need to see a doctor, they've got this app that they link to a doctor through a telehealth service. You know, it's on demand. It's great. They put in their information, their profile, and they're able to connect with the local doctor. and they can advise them, you know, on what they need to do. It's a great service and it's becoming so popular. And the best part is it's extremely affordable. You know, instead of paying that high deductible to go to the emergency room when you're not sure if you should or not, you know, this telehealth plan is usually covered. The other thing that I love is there's fitness apps getting involved with telehealth, and I think it's wonderful. And we're even seeing life insurance companies giving back rewards and premium discounts if you're participating in this and they see that you're leading a healthy, active lifestyle. So I think we're going to continue to see the two integrated together, and it's exciting to see what the future holds for that.
It's really encouraging and such a more proactive approach to focus on wellness and having rewards for people for actually taking care of themselves. And I can't imagine the money people have saved from not having to go to the emergency room just even one time. That adds up quickly. We've all been there.
So. You know, when you have children and you're just not sure, if you're a new parent and you're not sure what to do, the telehealth is so much easier than running to the doctor every time. Yeah. Provides comfort and ease and money savings.
24/7. I mean, amazing. So I love that you talked about that. Let's move on to mental health. That's also a big topic that is very relevant to our society today. So mental health has become a top priority for many employees and families. So what kinds of resources or coverage are you seeing people ask about most often? Where do you recommend people find support?
You know, there's a couple different options out there. A lot of the companies, because telehealth is becoming so popular, you could do mental health through telehealth, which is great. We saw a huge boom in this during the pandemic, where these services really took off because people didn't know what to do, but they needed to talk to someone and they weren't sure. And they started to reach out from the comfort of their home. And I've really seen that trend continue. You know, when you're having those visits, there's something that puts you at ease being in your own home. You're being vulnerable and you're opening up. So when people could do it from their home, it just changes everything. The other thing that I see a lot of companies asking about is, you know, how can we offer it, but, you know, our plan doesn't carry this. Well, an employee assistance program. A lot of companies are adding the employee assistance program, and that could be anywhere from, you know, a phone call to reach out to a mental health provider to free telehealth services up to 15 per year. So there's a lot of options. People and medical providers are realizing how important it is, and we really need to incorporate that into our plans to make sure that we have options for our teams.
So these are add-on services at a fraction of a cost, but cover so many bases.
Absolutely. And some of them are even included in the healthcare plan. So you'd be surprised. So it's definitely worth, when you meet with your broker, to ask about that.
And that's something you can share as an employer of choice. You know, that's something you can advertise with your team. Hey, we go the extra step and have the EIP. And these are all the things covered. Even legal services, I saw some of them include. I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And you know what? You really mentioned something that's really important, making sure your team knows what the benefits are and that are available to them. So many times, you know, I'll talk to an employee and they didn't even realize they had that coverage or the opportunity to take part in that because they would have. So it's really important that whoever is, you know, administrating the benefits for your company or organization, that you really explain the benefits and talk about it throughout the year. You know, your HR team could send out a monthly email talking about a new benefit and explaining it to the team, because the last thing you want is someone to say, I could have really used that, but I didn't know that it was available.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do see so much confusion in this space. There's just so much confusion, I think, because change is happening so quickly. And to your point, pick up the phone and call your broker, like ask the question, because you might even have an option that you didn't even know you had. So I think that's really simple, but great advice, life-changing advice.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, with that, we were also hoping to get your feedback on what's coming. So looking ahead as we wrap up 2025 into 2026, what changes in health benefits, whether new laws, costs, or lifestyle trends, do you think your clients should be most prepared for?
I think there's two big concerns out there that people are worried about right now. The first one is costs due to inflation. You know, we can't get around it. Someone's going to have to pay for it, right? So whether it's going to be the employee or the employer absorbing it, and that's where that transparency comes in and getting to know your team and just sharing the facts, especially for a small business. You know, this is what it's costing. This is what I could afford to pay. let's make this decision together. I think it's a win-win. I think the other fact that we have to worry about is if you're going through the health place marketplace, you know, we don't know what cuts are coming for 2026. We don't know the changes. So I think being educated and starting early is going to be really important this year. I think you need to look at your choices and really identify, what did I spend last year? How many times did I go to the doctor? What type of plans do I need for my team? And make smart decisions that way. And if you're not sure, partner with a professional.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Well, I do want to say, because of, you know, the respect I have for working with you and the kind of leader you are in this space, I think there is a lack of trust sometimes when it comes to insurance and benefits, unfortunately, but I know there are a lot of great people out there. So I personally recommend refer you, and I'd love you to share with the audience, you know, where can people find you if they want to call your organization, ask questions, get support to learn more about this?
Absolutely. So you could find me at the Dan Uros Agency. My phone number is 570-675-0251. And thank you, Erica, for this opportunity. It was great to speak with you. Really enjoyed this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you provided very tangible next steps for people and gave them a lot to think about. So thank you so much for your time, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Well, this is Go Higher. I'm your host, Erica Butler, and we'll be wrapping up this segment. Next, we're going to share the Go Higher story, and you can hear our why, our purpose, and why we are on this journey. And we look forward to Go Hiring more together.
We'll be right back with more stories, lessons, and practical tools to help you rise in leadership, business, and life. This is Go Higher on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Erica Butler, and you're watching Go Higher on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation that helps you lead, live, and love with purpose.
Welcome back to Go Higher. I'm your host, Erica Butler. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Go Higher and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So in this next segment, I'm really excited for the opportunity to share more about our Go Higher story and why we're here and what the purpose is of all of this. So I want to go back to a time of my life, and I'm going to be very vulnerable with you because I think that's important and that's what we're all about here. A time in my life where both my husband and I were working in our careers and we were growing and learning. We both worked for very large organizations, Fortune 500, Fortune 100. We also were somewhat new parents. At the time, I had a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I was just, my life wasn't as I was picturing. If I get emotional, I apologize in advance. But I always saw myself as a very involved mother and that I would mother a certain way. And we built a life that didn't allow for that. I was traveling sometimes 6 days a week. I worked a lot of hours, as did my husband. And we weren't really the ones raising our kids. It kind of was for me an aha moment when I was on a business trip away from my family and I got a call from my son's orientation that he missed it. We didn't even know he missed his kindergarten orientation. And as I'm this, you know, nursing mom with a 1-year-old traveling, I just felt like I was missing so much of my kid's life. So my husband and I decided we were going to make a change. And we believed that we weren't stuck. We believed so much more was possible. It was hard because I loved the job I did. I actually had an amazing boss. I had an amazing future with the company. I actually loved it. But I loved my family more and I wanted to live life with them. So we made a decision that I would leave the organization and start a company called Higher International Human Resources. We're celebrating 7 years, November 2nd. And what I found on the other side is it is quite possible to be a very present parent and also to build something that can impact so many lives locally and around the world. And you can do both. And it takes some planning. It takes some tools and strategies. It takes it helps to have a great partner, as my husband is. But that is how Go Higher started, from our lives not being what we want it with this one life. So there's a lot of purpose behind it. And we are on a mission to free more people to live life that way, with purpose, with impact, helping people with love and kindness. And I'm so thankful to have found Now Media. I'm so thankful to our Go Higher team that we've been working with, most of them for over a decade. And we are on this journey to continue to grow and make an impact and scale and help many others along the way. In the coming weeks, months, years, I believe, you will get to hear from some amazing leaders and guest contributors on this show. And their point of discussion is to help the audience, to help you, if you're stuck, to get unstuck. Coaches and that costs a lot of money. And I'm a fan of coaches. I almost always have a coach that I pay for support. I believe in that very much. I'm also a coach. But to have access to some of these individuals for free through Now Media, I think is amazing. And I really hope, pray, believe that this show will be a catalyst for more people to make the life change that they need to make. It's not always easy, but if you keep doing the next hard thing, a lot more is possible than you ever realized. Sometimes just asking for help from someone who is further along than you of the goals you have for your life can really open doors. So we're movers and shakers here. We will always be. And really, that's just the beginning. Our hearts are to impact not just our local markets, but there's a lot of people around the world that are in awful situations. They don't have clean water. They don't have food. And I see this stuff cross my desk every day at this point. And we're just going to keep going and try to help as many people as we can to go higher. And we believe so much more is possible. So I'm so excited for the opportunity to work with the Go Higher team and Now Media. And we look forward to bringing you great content and impact in the coming weeks, days, months, all of it. So let's go higher together. And I really, really hope you tune in to the journey and be part of this with us. Thank you so much. You can watch Now Go Higher on Now Media. We air every week, as well as Roku and Apple TV and all major platforms. So look forward to having you tune in the future. Thank you.